All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Movie Talks and Chill. We're your hosts. I'm Tony Serrato.
I'm Gavin Buss.
I'm Patrick Wong.
And in this episode, why don't you tell us what we're going to be talking about?
We're talking about the great John Travolta. And
stay alive, stay alive.
Yep, and his massive amount of filmography.
Massive.
Well,
it's huge.
It's huge. Tampa, huge.
Well, his first movie that is a credited movie is in 1975.
Can I guess what it is?
Sure.
Is it? You said it's a TV movie?
No, it's just a movie. His first accredited movie.
I thought that was like The Boy in the Bubble.
So that was his second one. It was in 1976. So his first accreditation is The Devil's Reign.
Oh.
A murdered family's patriarch seeks revenge upon an Arizona coven that captures souls and worships Satan.
I like it.
You know, he's third in line on the credits, so he must have done a lot of smaller work before this one, but he plays a character named Danny.
Not Danny Zuko.
But his second role was The Boy in the Bubble.
This is what Danny Zuko was based off of.
Yeah, right?
But Boy in the Bubble is his first starring role.
Okay.
So he's number one on the bill for that
the
one.
Boy
nice.
Who lived?
Well, yeah, he was the boy in the bubble.
Yep. Which is the good movie. And there's a really shitty remake in like 2002.
Well, it's
or
not
something.
A remake, but it's just a
similar
movie.
Process.
Yeah. Yeah. You're talking about the one with Jake Gyllenhaal?
Yeah.
The Bubble Boy?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
So to kick it off, like we do always with these kinds of episodes, what's your favorite John Travolta movie? Gavin.
I mean, obviously, and I'm probably stealing someone's here, but it's obviously Face Off.
You're close to stealing mine.
Because you want to take his face off.
The movie I'm talking about came out a year before that one.
No more drugs for that man.
I could eat a peach for hours.
Would you shut up and do it already?
I remember when that movie came out, a lot of people were giving praise to both Nicolas Cage and John Travolta because they start out the movies as characters A and B, and
yeah.
then they switch, so they mm-hmm. actually had to change up their acting style to match John Travolta. Nick Cage has to match John Travolta and vice
exactly,
versa.
Exactly, yeah.
So they were like, this is a masterpiece of acting.
Yeah, that had to have been like one of the best projects they've ever done.
Oh, yeah. To this day.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great movie. I'm not going to deny that.
Oh, God.
Okay, so I'm gonna get.
You said that to tell us this.
Yes, I said that because you always. It's they teach you that in the corporate world. You know, you fill up the bank with positive before you take a withdrawal of
it's
negative.
It's called the compliment sandwich.
Yeah,
exactly.
Say something nice, then demoralize them, and then say, "But you're doing a good job."
Boy, you really wowed that executive from Cincinnati last
yes.
week. That was you in a mustache.
Yeah. Having said that, you spend way too much money and you're fired. But no, what I was going to say is, yes, they did an incredible job acting. It was a really good movie. I really enjoyed it. However, if you want to get into medically technical stuff, the face thing, fine. But how did their bodies not change? They have drastically different body
styles. Yeah,
that's
styles. True.
So they never talked about changing their body. Their facial bone structure is completely different.
Hmm.
Like Travolta had a much
well,
broader
they
face.
They showed how they did that. They put on like an exo like mask underneath the face to mimic that.
Yeah, but Travolta has a wider face, so
yeah,
they
just use more putty.
They'd have to shrink his face down to make it.
It's fucking movie magic, okay?
Making things bigger is easier. Making them smaller,
I don't think
is
so.
Glad someone made that joke.
But you know, with, like I said, everything else, like they'd have to change their entire body.
Yeah, that's
completely.
True, because when Travolta becomes Nick Cage, he loses like 50 pounds.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I mean. Yeah, it's like, so that's the only part I was like, yeah, I get maybe being able to, you know, manipulate the, you know, the vocals and stuff like that. I'll buy into your stupid bone structure junk.
But that's what they said.
Well, that's what they said. But
at least
still,
they covered it in the movie.
Yeah, well,
attempted.
Yeah, attempted. Now, if it was just Nicolas Cage going to John Travolta, I'd be like, okay, that makes sense. They put, you know, excess in to fill them out more, but you can't shrink them down.
Lipo.
Yeah. Yeah, we just did a bunch of. Then why didn't they lipo the rest of his body?
Why not?
No, I'm asking, why didn't they?
Oh, I don't know.
They just. It's extension for disbelief. So that was my only beef about it. But no, I did enjoy it. I really liked the movie.
It's a good movie. Yeah. What about you, Mr. Tony?
Oh, there's so many out there. Definitely was not Swordfish, I will tell you that much. As much as I like Travolta, I was not a fan of that movie.
Oh, I like that movie.
Or,
I
mean, or Battlefield Earth, I mean, for that matter. God. But no, for me...
Battlefield Earth, no.
He was not the star of the movie, but he was one of the ensemble cast, and it's because it's a movie that brought his career back, really, in the mainstream, was Pulp Fiction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Knew that was coming.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a solid movie. You can't go wrong with that.
No, and he has a good amount of screen time on it, but obviously he's not like the ultimate star of that movie. Yeah. You know, it's not all about him.
And there's not, I don't really think there's one person in there that it's the movie's all about.
No. Yeah. No, it's Tarantino's kind of way. You know, that's what he does.
It's like Crash. Everyone has their own leading role in some way.
Yeah.
I think one of the only movies that Tarantino ever did that really had a starring role, like one main person it's about, is Kill Bill Volume 1 and 2. Because Uma Thurman was basically...
And Django Unchained.
Well, Django Unchained, yeah. I'm not going to say Four Rooms because we know he didn't direct that movie, just the one scene. Yes. But that would be Tim Roth is basically the center of that movie, you know. So yeah,
well, he did direct the one scene in Sin City. So I guess Clive Owen is the star in that one.
Yeah. Well, what about you?
So, I know the reason why I brought up John Travolta is because there's a movie I do want to talk about, but it is not my favorite. It is just one that I really enjoy. Mm-hmm. My favorite Travolta movie is, nobody likes it, but I love it, Broken Arrow.
I thought you were going to say Luke Who's Talking.
No. I mean, that's on my list. Don't get me wrong. I love those movies. But
not
no,
to be confused with Luke Who's Talking Now.
Or Luke Who's Talking Too. And it's not T-W-O. Oh, no. It's T-O-O.
T-O-O.
But no, my favorite Travolta movie is Broken Arrow.
Okay.
The dumbest action movie ever. If you haven't seen it, it's John Travolta and Christian Slater. They play Air Force pilots that they fly the stealth bomber, which has nuclear weapons on board. John Travolta is the bad guy, and he's trying to steal the nuclear bombs, but he blames Christian Slater. And then there's like a fight in the cockpit, and their gun goes off. The nukes don't detonate, which is great, but they crashed a plane. So Christian Slater has to team up with a park ranger to go, you know, find the nukes and stop Travolta from blowing up St. Louis.
And then they have a singing contest of, who else is going to bring you a broken arrow? No? Okay.
The one weird... Turn that mic down.
And yeah. He shut off.
The problem is with these new sound buffers, we could hear him very clearly now.
Nice singing, Gavin. Don't ever do that again.
In case you're wondering why we sound really fucking weird, because this is our real voices. It's not echoey or tinny.
Welcome.
And I ain't got no auto-tune.
Mic down. We have a mic down.
I will say the one issue I have with Broken Arrow is there's a scene... where they go out of their way to explain that there's endangered dirt in the Nevada desert. Mm-hmm. Never once comes up again. You're thinking, like, this is a plot point for, like, the end of the movie. Like, oh, I could use this rare dirt and, you know, choke John Travolta with it or something.
Rare dirt.
But, nope, it is never spoken of it again in the movie whatsoever. And I don't know why we wasted 3 minutes of the park ranger explaining to where one footprint takes 200 years to, you know, fill in. Like... Mm.
Because it's important. It was important to the writer.
It was so important to the writer. Christian Slater's very next line was, endangered dirt. Never heard of that before. You never hear it of again.
Endangered dirt. You've got endangered dirt, son. Yeah.
So that's my only gripe about movie. Why
yeah, why'd you tear apart his damn movie?
Oh, because...
Because it's a good movie.
Because medically, it doesn't have any issues.
Have you ever heard of endangered dirt?
Have you?
No.
So, doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Have you seen a dinosaur? In person, live?
Yes.
A real dinosaur?
Yes.
Yeah, they're called birds. They're outside, bro. Yeah,
that's not a real dinosaur.
No, alligators are.
But you believe that's you didn't see it. So rare dirt exists. Deadly dirt.
We live in Florida. I see alligators all the time. I passed three on the way here.
Exactly.
I ride one to get my pub sub.
I was going to say, I saw one, I'm taking a bath.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that.
This famous video of this like 9-foot, 300-pound alligator just walking across a golf green.
Yeah.
From like 3 years ago. If that doesn't convince
He's
you
in Orlando.
Yeah. If that doesn't convince you dinosaurs were a thing, I don't know what will.
Oh, I believe them. I believe in dinosaurs.
But there are people who don't think dinosaurs are a myth. Exhibit A, there's one still living.
All right, so now we're not talking about dinosaur movies. Jurassic Park. All right,
can we change the topic to Sam Neill? Because I know his greatest movie.
So
it's not Event Horizon.
And then we go back to Velocipaster.
Yeah.
7 degrees of Velocipaster.
So let me ask you this. What do you think his greatest range movie was?
Like, Face Off. Man, it had to be Face Off.
Okay.
Mainly because, like we said, he played his one character, and then he had to spend time with Nicolas Cage, then immediately tried to act like him.
Okay.
Like, that was a huge, like, glimpse into what his acting potential actually is.
Okay. What about you?
I'd have to agree with that. That's...
All right, so I guess I'm talking about most, well, range and unique character is he did play the mom in the remake of Hairspray.
That's right,
yeah.
He did.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
And he did a pretty good job.
Yeah. I'm not gonna lie, he actually kind of did.
I came across like, oh, that's right, he did do that in Hairspray.
Yeah, yeah.
Now
you're thinking Hairspray. Now you're going to replay it.
I want to talk about one of his earliest roles, the one that put him on the map. Well, there are arguments about which one put him on the map, but okay. I would say it was Grease.
Okay, so what I meant was, yes, Grease put him on the map. However, Pulp Fiction resurged his career.
Right.
What, did it die after Grease until Pulp Fiction?
Well, you gotta remember,
like, the Look Who's Talking.
I mean,
stuff?
Look
like
Who's Talking, he kind of came
those
back.
Movies were good.
No, they were cute, but yeah, they weren't.
Well, I mean, the fault of those movies was it also had Christy Alley as a co-star.
Yeah.
I mean.
But here's the thing with those. Yes, they were cute, and he did stuff in the 80s, but he really was like, you didn't think John Travolta, like anybody who thought John Travolta in the mid to late 80s, early 90s was still thinking Grease.
Saturday Night Fever.
Saturday Night Fever.
Urban
so
Cowboy.
Like, yeah, he had his decades of popularity. So like in the 70s, it was like Saturday Night Fever and Staying Alive, which really wasn't good. But that the second one, because it just didn't need to happen. And he was Vinnie Barbarino on the TV show, and everybody knew him as that. And Welcome Back, Cotter. Then in the 80s, he had... I think, was Look Who's Talking done in the 80s? I can't remember.
Look Who's 90s. Talking is 89.
Yeah, so right at the end. So, yeah. But people think of like 80s and 90s, and then he did like, you know, Phenomenon, stuff like that in the 90s. And then, but then later on, like in the 90s, he did then Pulp Fiction. And then that was like, then if you remember, after Pulp Fiction, he just blew up.
He did Broken Arrow.
Yep.
Did Get Shorty, which is a great movie.
You know what's even, I actually like better than that is Be Cool, the sequel.
Be Cool.
So, I saw them out of order. I didn't know Be Cool was a sequel to Get Shorty, and I'd never seen Get Shorty. So when I was watching, like, the opening 10 minutes immediately says this is a sequel to Get Shorty. I was like, well, I know what movie I'm watching next. 30 years later, I still haven't watched the movie.
So there's a few great things about Be Cool. Now, again, this is not saying it's a summer blockbuster movie by any means. It's overall
genuinely very funny.
It's funny. So the key things is you have Vince Vaughn is that, like, wannabe gangster, thug guy. You have John Travolta just being kind of like just this ultra cool guy and be cool. You have Uma Thurman in it. You know, they do that fun little sexy dance together again, which is kind of like a homage to back when they did together in Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
You have The Rock as the effeminate bodyguard.
That was the best part
right?
about it.
Exactly.
It took me the first time I saw Be Cool because I wasn't a wrestling fan at that time. You know, I knew what wrestling was. I knew some of the people, but that was kind of him getting out of, like, more into acting a little bit more. I mean, he probably did other things before
He'd done a couple of other things, but, like, this one was, like, his...
But I'm watching it, and I'm like, he reminded me so much of, and I know I'm going to mess this up. I'm trying to think of the name. Was it Mike Epps? Am I thinking of that who I'm thinking of? He was in the other Fridays, kind of replaced the Smokey character. He was in, like, Next Friday After Next.
It might
next
be
Friday.
Mike Epps.
He was his cousin.
Yeah, Day-Day, yeah.
I think that's why I said where he's like, not on duty, Craig, not on duty.
Yeah.
That's who
top flight security of the world, Craig.
That's who that reminded me of. And I thought it was Mike Epps. And then after a while, someone said, I read the credits, and it said Dwayne Johnson. I'm like, The Rock? I'm like, so that proved to me right then and there. I know we're not talking about Dwayne Johnson, but.
Yet. He's quickly gathering a filmography.
That right? Was, yeah.
That proved to me that man has range. Because he played a very effeminate.
Oh, yes.
He had range back then. He doesn't anymore, I would say.
He doesn't have to. They're like, oh, we need a big guy that beats up stuff and blows up shit. Oh, let's just call The Rock. Yeah,
basically. Like, what was it, 2019, 2020, where he was officially like the highest paid actor in the world that year?
Probably at that point.
Yeah, something around there.
I can't remember if it was. Maybe my money.
I mean, he was in, you know, the first 5 minutes of The Other Guys. Samuel L.
Yep. It was either just before the pandemic or just after the pandemic where they said The Rock was the highest paid actor in the world.
But I think also, in my opinion, is I think John Travolta is a great lead actor. Obviously, he's proven that by his filmography and his ability. And obviously, you know, people still want to see him around, as do I. But I almost think, and this I might be lighting a match here to start a fire, and I don't mean to do that, but I almost think he comes out even better when he's working with people as like ensemble-y.
Yeah.
So
where he has like a co-star to like
not just a co-star in an ensemble cast where it's like multiple people.
Well, there's not just one star.
So like Grease would be an example of that, even though he's kind of the lead, but there was all those other people involved. Yeah. You know, focus like a lot on Kanicki and stuff and Sandy and all them. And the Pink Ladies, but
and like Be Cool, Get Shorty, Pulp Fiction.
Hairspray is another one. And if you guys remember the movie Wild Hogs.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
I remember watching that once.
So you had, you know, him, was it Martin Lawrence, Tim Allen.
And
Kevin
James?
No, it wasn't Kevin James. It's the he always plays that awkward part. He was in Fargo. Tim Allen. No, not Tim Allen. I already said Tim Allen. It's the fourth guy. The one that always wrecked his bike, never knew how to ride.
Oh, William H. Macy.
Yes, William H. Macy. He always plays that awkward character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Outside of Shameless. And then he's just high and drunk all the time.
Yeah, basically. But he's played a lot of really, like his role in Fargo was amazing. Like how
I've never seen the movie. I've only seen the television show. One of
my favorite scenes with him is like they're setting up the campsite and he's like, hey guys, should I tie my poo bag up on a tree? He's like, no, why would you want to do that? So bears don't get it. No, you don't have to do that. Well, why not? Because bears don't eat shit.
Well, and I love also they had in the actual biker gang, because you know they're weekend riders. You know they're weekend. They're riding out, so they're going on this
Ray
trip.
Ray Liotta
as the gang leader. But the best part about that whole thing is at the end credits, they're playing like scenes of them, and then Ray Liotta's like sitting there and he's like crying.
Well, it's because
like,
they rebuilt the bar.
Yeah, and he's like I just get so emotional right now. But he like played this like tough guy, and everybody still remembered Ray Liotta from like Goodfellas and stuff like that. And he played that type of mean character in this movie, or in Wild Hogs, but then seeing that ending where he's just weeping and crying. I'm trying to think of like, Face Off would be another example of kind of like an ensemble cast.
So, this one wasn't an ensemble, I don't think, but there was another one he did with Robin Williams that was Dads. I think.
Oh, yes.
Old Dads or something like that.
Was it Dads? I'm trying to remember now.
So basically, Robin Williams finds out that he has kids, and they've been living like this bachelor life, the two of them like together, and they have they're trying to sell or like offload their company. Like this is supposed to be like their big break, so they can finally retire.
Yeah,
they were doing some kind of setup over in Japan, and Seth Green is their. They send him over to go like be the negotiator, and he ends up getting there and just like full on goes just parties and never shows up. But it was like a scene in there where they switch, like when the kids come in and they switch their medication.
Mm. Oh,
and he's trying to play.
I'm starting to remember this. I think I may have only seen it once, but.
That was funny. That was hilarious. He's looking down at the golf ball, and it like gets real big and real small.
That's good stuff, man.
Yeah, that's some good shit.
Well, there's another one of his that he did that, again, I don't know how to describe it. It was almost like, I don't know if it came out during the dump month, but felt kind of like a dump month movie, because even though it starred great people, so it's that movie Domestic Disturbance with him and Vince Vaughn, where it's John Travolta has his kid, he's divorced, and then Vince Vaughn is the new guy dating the mom, but Vince Vaughn's like a psycho, or like a, I can't remember if he's like a murderer or something, or if he's got like a, you know, if he's just some kind of heavy thief or whatever, but it's one of those where the kid starts, you know, prying into his life, because number one, it's the new guy in his life, but he doesn't like him, but then he starts seeing him being all weird, and the mom's like taking the new guy's side over the son because she thinks it's just him acting out because it's like he thinks he's trying to replace his dad. But and then John Travolta, he's going to his dad, and the kid has had, I think if I remember correctly, I think the kid had a history of you know, crying wolf a few times in the past. So at first I didn't believe him, but, you know, John Travolta's just trying to really believe him. And then he gets involved and John Travolta ends up looking like the bad guy because he's basically going up threatening,
right,
you know, Vince Vaughn about his son. And then, you know, comes a big whole thing where, you know, a big fight breaks out between two of them. You know, they see his true colors at the end and stuff. But again, it wasn't meant to be like a summer blockbuster. I don't remember when it came out, but or like what time of the year. But it just felt like one of those movies where they just wanted to get a movie out and they needed some people and they maybe liked the script. And it wasn't a bad movie, but it certainly wasn't like a Face-Off or something, you know, where it's going to be like the next Rock or the next Face-Off or anything like that. I'm not saying he was in The Rock. I'm just saying.
It was
Now I'm trying to picture
Old Dogs was him and Robin Williams.
Okay, Old Dogs.
Now I'm trying to figure out what character he would play in The Rock. Because I love that movie. Don't ever fuck with it.
No. I was just letting the audience know. I'm not saying he was in The Rock. I was just illustrating.
Yeah.
So you know the director of the FBI, Womack?
Yep.
He has a sidekick who's just usually doing a lot of the talking for him. Mm-hmm. That's Travolta.
You think that's Travolta?
Because the guy who played Womack, solid, don't ever get rid of him.
Yeah.
And you can't get rid of Nick Cage or Sean Connery. Well, now that Connery's dead, I guess Travolta could do that role.
It would have been funny if they tested his range and made him the hairdresser. The guy that did the haircut.
Yeah,
that guy's name was Anthony.
Yeah, did you like your haircut? That guy's name is Anthony Clark. He was a comedian. I don't think he had many roles.
Dharma and Greg, right? Darla and Greg?
Either that, he was in one of those like USA shows or something. I can't remember.
It was around the same time like Mad About You and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, it was like mid to late 90s.
So you know the guy from Travelers?
Yeah.
What show he was from?
Yeah, Will and Grace.
Well, so he was from Will and Grace because he was the best friends with
That was
Nick Offerman's wife.
No. He wasn't Jack. That's not the same guy. Anthony Clark was not Jack. Trust me on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I know what movie next I want to talk about, but I'll let you guys.
You want to just chat for a bit, Gavin? Let's talk about something.
I mean, we hit Wild Hogs. Another one in here, Pelham 1-2-3.
Okay, yeah.
Which is, excuse me, kind of an unsung one.
Choked up on it.
It's actually
a very emotional movie for you.
I mean, at the end, they're on the train. And the, anyway. I mean, this one's kind of cool the way the storyline goes because, you know, they picked Denzel Washington's character because he had, like, been accused of taking a bribe for the company, and it was true. But you know they I think the day that he sat down at this desk was supposed to be his last day on the job.
Okay,
they were going to reassign him most likely. He wasn't getting fired, but he was going to get like some kind of job, dead end job leading nowhere. So the cool thing about the movie is the whole time that they're pulling off this heist, people are starting to think that Denzel Washington set this up,
okay,
to get out of all the trouble that he was in, and it's really just Travolta being the mastermind, you know, that he is. I can't remember if he actually found out about or if like Travolta had found out about the hearing or whatever and picked him, but I mean there was no way he could know that it was like his last day on the job or whatever.
Yeah,
but
he was in neither of those shows. I have no idea where I remember him from then.
He was in like one of those USA TV shows. I can't remember.
It's not listed.
Well, just look up Anthony Clark. Name some of the shows. Because as soon as I hear it, I'll know.
Man.
I want to say it was something about Boston.
Boston Common?
Yes, that's the one I know him from. Okay. Not Boston Legal.
Yeah,
Boston
Common. Wildly different show.
Yes. But no, he played a big role in that. But
yeah, Boyd Pritchett.
Well, before you talk, so I came across as you were describing yours. By the way, were you done?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no.
I don't want to jump over.
That was the cool part about it was, you know, that dynamic between them in the movie.
I just didn't want to cut you off.
No,
sir.
No, cut me. I mean, wait a minute.
So the one I will say that I completely forgot about, but I love this movie so much, and it's very cute.
Michael?
Yes. I love that movie. My grandmother loved that movie.
My mom and aunt really liked that movie, and I watched it with them. The only thing I can remember is when they're getting in the car to start driving, he goes, "Say thank you." Now, when I tell you to, just say thank you. It's like the very last thing in the movie, too.
Yeah.
Well, he does it throughout the movie. He's
he does that to like everyone.
Yeah, he'll be like, you know, do
when
this.
When I say so,
yeah,
give me a quarter or something like that.
When I say so. He always smelled like cookies.
Mm-hmm.
And it was it? I don't know if it was a particular type, but maybe oatmeal, but he always smelled like cookies.
Well, I think it was whoever was around him.
Mm.
Like, he smelled like their favorite cookie or something okay. like that.
But yeah, she's like, he always smells like cookies.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's a cute, good movie, but I like the old lady that he's living with.
Mm.
And she's talking about the story about the bank for you know going to foreclose on the house, and he's like, she walks right in, money changer. He's like, I bring it down. He's like, did I say that? I didn't say that.
And, well, I like how he just randomly says that he invented everything.
Oh yeah,
he's like, you know, I invented standing in line.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, before then everyone was just all standing everywhere. So I said, why don't we just put them in a line? He's like, he invented marriage.
Yeah.
He's like, everywhere else, everybody was just pairing up. I said, why don't we have a ceremony? Yeah. It's so nonchalant.
He's yeah, just like, hey, he made a lot of good things. Yeah, right? I like when he goes to fight the bull, charging the bull.
Oh, yes.
He just like puts his face yeah. up like that.
This is funny. It is a really good movie. It's cute and, you know, it's just a fun time. But if yeah. you look at the movie poster, it's just him with like an ear-to-ear smile of classic
yeah.
Travolta.
Yeah.
It's like, that's how you drew in the women, didn't you?
Yeah.
You just put that sexy face on a poster and said, come in and watch me.
Come in here. Come on in, boys. The water's fine.
And then just those big wings, having yeah. to get that big overcoat. And when he asked him to switch coats with me,
yeah.
he's like, change coats. He's like, I like your coat better.
When I first started watching this movie, I was like, all right, is this going to be one of those movies like, is he an angel? Is he not really an angel? And like the first time you see him, he's just got these giant angel wings.
Yeah, he's
like,
just all walking right, around with
we're getting rid of that like little suspicion, aren't we? Mm-hmm. We're diving oh, yeah. headfirst into this. It's like that movie K-Pax with
Kevin Spacey.
Yeah. Where he's like, is he an alien? Is he not an alien? I don't. No, but they just get rid of that disbelief in the first 10 seconds of Michael. Like he is an angel.
Yeah, he's an angel. He's just there hanging out.
Yeah,
helping people,
inventing shit.
Yeah,
standing in line, marriages, yeah. probably sliced bread according to him.
That's one of the things he said. Not now, later. He's like, sing for me to the woman.
Oh yeah,
Andy McDowell, I believe her name was. But he's like, sing. She's like, now? He's like, no, when I tell you. And then when they go to that bar.
Yeah, Andy McDowell.
When they go to that bar, he's like, sing for me now. But then he asks, and he's like, now. And she goes up and does that song because she was like writing the songs about all her ex-husbands and stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, all right. So we can't keep going without talking about, you know, especially where we live. And
all right, so I was going to bring that up. I love this movie.
We've talked about it, you know. A bunch of times.
But I'm going to talk about it again.
We still have to, pay homage to the Punisher.
The Punisher.
The original with Thomas Jane.
Yes. The better one. I remember one time.
Well, the show was good. I just didn't like the second.
Called Warzone, which was a soft reboot.
Yeah.
I knew a lot of hardcore like comic fans like Warzone more because the guy who plays Frank Castle in that movie doesn't say anything for like the first 45 minutes of the movie. And that's how he is in the comics. He's not giving long monologues or like the reason why he's putting a bullet in them. He's just putting a bullet in people.
Hey, why not?
Yeah. But the Thomas Jane one, I would argue, is disgustingly better. It's amazing. I love that movie. And it was filmed here in Tampa.
Yes.
Yep.
The big where he's throwing money out of the window onto the street, that's in downtown Tampa.
Yep.
I think it's out of the Bank of America building.
Yes.
Or
either that or no. No, I think you're right. Bank of America.
It may not have been the Bank of America building back then.
No, I think it was.
Oh, okay.
I think it was. I don't think the Regions building was
Yeah, that's true.
There.
And you know what? Good on Regions. Like, oh, Bank of America's got a tall building in Tampa.
Guess what? Hold my beer.
That movie is fantastic. And it does, if you do know that, I didn't know the comics that well. Back then I was working at GameStop and my boss was a big cinephile and comic book nerd. And he's like, oh, that one, the fight with the big, you know, huge guy is straight
from... Kevin Nash?
Yeah. But that's straight from the comics. He is called the Russian. And, like, it's a drag down, knockout fight between those two.
Knockdown, drag out.
Yeah, that one.
What he said.
Listen to Gavin.
That thing.
And that scene with the ice pop and the sizzling steak is apparently straight out of the comics, too.
Oh, okay. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Plus, you know, Thomas Jane, fantastic actor.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong with him.
Well, also, you know, our very own you know, Tampa Bay Film Commissioner was in there before he was the Film Commissioner.
Yep.
Oh, that's right. He was one of the extras, wasn't yep. he?
He was the one, or at least from our interviews, he was the one that he was building the car. Mm-hmm. When they're doing the scene where he's building the Challenger.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wasn't it his hands, he said?
Yeah, he's like, said for a brief moment, you could see my left arm or something like that, tightening a bolt.
Yeah.
He said, Thomas Jane doesn't work on his own car.
Yeah, come on.
Who does he think he is, Ben Affleck? I don't think so.
Who do you think you are, man?
But yeah, Tampa Palms was in that. Mm-hmm. They did...
There's the golf club we'll never play at, that's for sure.
Speak for yourself. Mm-hmm. I'll play there. It's a charity event, but I'll play
there. I'm assuming you're the charity.
Yeah, I was going to say, hey, well done.
I'm going to find somebody else to pay for me to get there.
Yeah. My name down too, please.
Absolutely. I got a foursome. We're doing best ball.
You know what? Leave us a review and 5 stars on every platform so we become famous enough to where Tampa Bomb calls us to go to play a real shitty game of golf on their very expensive course.
I like it.
And don't try to fake like a serious illness to be like in the Make-A-Wish Foundation type thing.
Oh, man.
They did that on Family Guy where they just put pepperonis all over Chris. And then like when they're interviewing, he's like, look, you can just pick him up. And then he eats it. He's like, that's disgusting. What do you want? You know, that shitty TV show back on the air? Fine. And then he like comes to collect and he's like, you owe us a dead kid or you go to jail for defrauding a charitable organization. And he's like, I have magic healing powers. And then he becomes a cult leader. And that's in season one of Family Guy.
Yes.
If you're wondering why this show has been around for 25 years, it's because of that.
Well, it almost wasn't.
Yeah, it got canceled after season 3.
Yep.
But because the DVD sales were so high, and I bought all 3 seasons when they were out.
Too.
Yeah. That Fox was like, damn, this. What do we do? We have to uncancel this. First time in history Fox has uncancelled something.
Well, what's so funny was...
And then they wrote him a blank check. Oh, you want to write 3 more shows? Here you go.
They also, like, for Family Guy's 100th episode, he basically went around and interviewed people that hated Family Guy.
So Trey Parker and Matt Stone?
Basically.
No, like viewers.
Oh, like on the street?
Yeah,
like
they called him in, and they didn't know that he was the producer of, or no, you know, was the main writer of it. And he's, like, doing the interviews, and they're like, you know, this show's kind of sick. It's kind of stupid and pointless. I don't know if I really like it. And it's like at the end of it, you see him like tearing up.
And stuff. So back, my first big boy job out of college was working for the Nielsen Company, working for their TV side of the business. And I started at the bottom, so I was doing cold calls to customers, like asking them if they could install a box or write down what shows they watch. And, you know, it's an opening question. It's like, can you just tell us about your TV habits? I'm not under any NDA, but I'm not going to go into too much of the process.
Yeah, I like watching Skinamax around 11.
So 9 times out of 10, people would just complain about 2 1/2 Men or Family Guy, saying that they're ruining America and it's too dirty and filthy.
Mm.
And the only thing we said was, thank you for letting me know. I'll make sure to put that down. And then we just continue on to the questionnaire.
Did you tell them, have you seen Trailer Park Boys?
When did I work there?
Yeah.
Was that on TV? It might have been.
Oh, it was.
When did
it's been on there a while. It's been on.
2010 is when I started working there.
Yeah, it definitely was on then.
So no one mentioned, it was 2 1/2 Men or Family Guy.
Okay. That's what's ruining America.
Yeah.
To be fair.
Not TikTok.
No. Not Tide Pod challenges.
Yeah,
not anything else.
Was it a thing back then?
Yeah. Well, that's apparently that's what started it.
Yeah.
The Family Guy and 2 1/2 Men.
Have they never been around?
Damn you, Seth Green. Or Seth Green. Oh, no. He's in the new Hanky Panky movie. That is out now. You should go watch.
Quick plug.
Quick plug. Shameless.
Yeah.
Totally shameless.
Seth MacFarlane and Charlie Sheen. They damned us to hell back in 2008.
We're getting to the point of like quick spots,
bad
sponsorships. Like, when I get a hankering of thirst, I like to quench it with a nice.
We will never sell out.
Look, but when I'm thirsty, I always reach for my Alani.
Look, Nuprin, little yellow, different.
If you don't chew Big Red, then fuck you.
It's like people only do stuff because they get paid. It's just really sad.
Thanks, Garth.
We're in Delaware.
Hi, I'm in
Delaware.
So for the next episode, it'll be Mike Myers movies.
Yeah. It'll just be an hour of Wayne's World 1 and 2. That's
Well, no, all the Austin Powers. Mm-hmm. Studio 54. But we're not going to get into that episode yet because we're not there yet. So.
Because after this episode, we were spending...
Well, Travolta was actually in Austin Powers. He was in Goldmember.
Yes, he was.
It's the only one I haven't seen, and it's the worst one from what I understand.
Yeah.
Dr. Evil, can I make his Yoo-Hoo gold?
How about no, you crazy Dutch bastard? I do like Michael Caine's
big
one line. Yeah, as the dad, but he also has two things I hate in this world. People who are intolerant of other people's cultures and the Dutch. Wait, hold up. The first thing...
Just let it be. He's on a roll.
He's being intolerant of other people's cultures and the Dutch. Lederhosen, tulips, and clogs, I guess. Fuck them.
Facebook.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Okay. Well, so now that we're done with our Family Guy rant, let's talk about two serious movies that he did that I really, really enjoy.
Tell us.
One is Ladder 49 with Joaquin Phoenix.
Yep.
That is a fantastic movie. If you haven't seen it, it stars Joaquin Phoenix, who you just basically go on his firefighter career throughout the movie. You see him his first day at, you know, his firehouse, Ladder 49. John Travolta is the captain at that point. And the first, like, 5 minutes of the movie is them playing, like, a prank on the rookie. Like, John Travolta is, like, drunk, and Joaquin Phoenix is like, what the... That's our captain? Like, oh, God. And he's like, oh, boy, oh, you gotta go confess to the priest now. Like, what? No, I don't want to do that. And it's just, like, everyone else in the firehouse standing behind a sheet listening to, like, confess his sins. Like, yeah, when I was a kid, I did stuff. He's like, oh! Like, what the fuck? and then you just follow his career, like, where he... finds a wife, he gets kids, and John Travolta is always there mentoring him as the captain, or when he gets promoted to the fire chief or whatever at the end of the movie. Spoilers for a 25-year-old movie, Joaquin Phoenix dies in a blaze. Not glory, just a blaze. He, like, basically, I think halfway through the movie, two of his crewmates, they die in a fire. So instead of being on the hose with John Travolta, he gets like a pike, and he's the guy on the roof, like making sure it's sturdy. And the last fire he goes to, he just drops in.
Yep.
And basically the movie is told from that point backwards, like, oh, you remember when you first came to the firehouse, and then it leads back up to that. It's a fantastic movie. Like, I'm not usually one for serious dramas, but that's an amazing movie.
But it's good.
It is good. Have you guys seen it?
I have seen it.
So if you want to go with serious dramas, this was kind of one of my favorites that he did, just really for the storyline.
I think it's going to be my next movie.
The General's Daughter.
Yep. You and I, we're vibing today.
We stop it. You savage.
All right, we're cutting both your mics down. You guys can get out of here.
Tony, look out. We're coming over you. The General's Daughter is a...
It's really good, but it's really fucked up.
Oh, yeah. Extremely fucked up. Who is the... James Woods.
Cromwell is the general.
Yes, but James Woods was like her best friend.
Yeah.
And he was... I think he was gay, but they were like, he essentially helped her set up, you know, the scene to relive in front of the general.
And James Cromwell in that movie, he does fantastic.
He does.
The general.
He's a great general.
I mean, the character is awful, but like his acting range in that movie, he does a great job.
So essentially the storyline is that she was going through, one of the first ones to go through Marine training.
No, she
was female.
I thought it was she went to Annapolis.
Yes.
Or West Point or something.
But also, like.
She went to one of the major military academies.
Exactly. And she was in the Marine Corps.
Oh, okay.
That was the thing. That was why they were out on that night mission, and they were just starting to let females into, you know, coming into to the training for Marines, you know, with the guys like in the Army and the Air Force and all of that. So they were doing the cross training. Before that, they were all trained separate.
Mm.
So there's a night mission, and essentially the guys, you know, hated her for, you know, upstaging them throughout
for her being training. Better.
Exactly. So they come up with this plan of during the night missions they
rape
her. They all take turns raping her in the out in the field.
Yeah,
and she stayed there and basically almost died until someone found her the next day because they left her there.
And the general, her dad, just swept it under the rug.
Yeah, covered
like,
it up.
Yeah, like, this will ruin my career, your career. Like, the fallout from this will just be disgusting.
He we'll didn't want it to be a taint on the Marine's legacy.
Yeah. Yeah. So she got her, you know, he got her help. Like, they went to the hospital, but, like, he swept up everything.
Yeah. No one ever was charged. Nothing was
investigated or anything. And then 10 years later, she does the same. Like, she dramatizes it, like, in the middle of this military base. But she dies this time. And John Travolta is a warrant officer in their criminal investigation.
He's in a JAG.
Yeah. He comes to investigate everything, and then they find everything out. It's a really good movie.
Yeah.
Yep.
But there's twists and turns. John Travolta keeps getting phone calls to, like, saying, get off this case and stuff like that. They go after his partner, and I can't remember her name at the moment. But it's a really good movie. I mean, it's an old movie. I wasn't allowed to watch it when it came out because it came out in 94, so I was 9. My mom's like, no, 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 no. Go watch Cartoon Network in the kitchen.
I want to say they might have almost done a similar like episode on either JAG or CS or NCIS.
Okay. Gotcha.
Madden stuff.
Okay.
So either that show, the show JAG, and then
which I've never seen.
NCIS is a spinoff of that. The original NCIS.
Which is like Mork and Mindy being a spinoff of Happy Days. Like, okay, fine. I get it.
It is.
Sure.
Because he started out just
watching Happy Days. Well, Mark Harmon, as the NCIS agent, was on like one episode of JAG, and that's where they spun that off from.
But there was an episode similar in one of those two shows about a similar thing like that. Not about a general's daughter, but about a girl in the military who basically ends up getting attacked by multiple people, and she's forced to keep it under wraps. Or she's like, I think she was something like that, or she was being threatened that they would
basically... I watched a lot of NCIS, like, basically up until Ziva left, and I don't remember that, so it may have been JAG. But to be fair, that show's been on for a long time.
Yeah.
There's a lot of NCIS, and it's still going. Even though DiNozzo is gone, because he went to the Bull on NBC. Yep. Ziva's gone, because she had a fight with the producers.
Which that's a good show, by the way, Bull.
I haven't seen it, but I heard it was actually
pretty
good. I think Mark Harmon's just going to be the only one there.
Oh, yeah.
I completely forgot about that.
Yeah, I know. I came across it earlier, but it was like...
What, Carrie?
Yeah.
I never seen it. Forgot he was there. We could all just assume...
In the original.
Yeah.
Yes, we know. That's why I didn't show it to you.
But I have my glasses on. I could actually see again, so I can see what you're pointing to.
Carrie...
Can you hear this, Kevin?
Yeah.
Let me turn it up.
All right, so we got some time left, but let's talk about this. What would you like to see Travolta do that you don't have not seen him done yet? It could be anything. It could be like a particular type of role or type of movie or like whatever you want.
Maybe remake Battlefield Earth and make it watchable.
I would say cut out all the Scientology crap, but then that would just leave the end credits.
So yeah, I don't know. Yeah, pretty much.
I have seen Battlefield Earth, and there are parts of it I generally like Forrest Whitaker and John Travolta, like scheming.
They're banter.
Yeah. But I don't. It's very confusing. Like, I saw it when I was in college or somewhere around there.
Mm-hmm.
But they're like, all right, we captured one of these.
Last week, right?
Yeah. Got the humans, we're gonna have them go mine for gold. Nowhere is it explained. This is like 3,000 years into the future or anything like that.
Yeah.
So I was wildly confused. I was like, oh, they're going to some place in Kentucky called Fort Knox. I was like, when did this invasion happen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like it takes you a long time to figure out, like, this was not yesterday. This was a long time ago.
Hmm.
Well, yeah, when he takes them to the Hall of Congress and he shows them like the book.
Yeah.
He's like, these were your laws and
I also like how they're training them to fly Harrier jets. These people use sticks as like fighting weapons.
Yeah,
and they get into like the little trainer thing for 3 days, and now they're genius pilots that can fly one of the most sophisticated airplanes at the time.
You gotta break them in like a horse.
When they find the flight trainer, it's like moving and gyrating. They're just like smacking it, like trying to stab it.
Hey, stop! This is learning machine.
Yeah. One of them is super smart. Like, they put him into the machine so he can get intelligence. But the rest are literal Neanderthals that are now flying planes.
Yeah.
Like, makes no sense whatsoever. If we do a movie where we can take notes and rip one apart, I've got one.
Okay. So you want to see Battlefield Earth redone?
Yes.
Better? What about you? So, it doesn't have to be a movie he's no, done.
Yeah, yeah. I want it to be gooder.
Gooder? More better? More better? Better.
As grammatically incorrect as that sentence was, it applies to Battlefield Earth.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how low that bar is set for that movie. I don't know. He's done so much. He's done comedy. Mm-hmm. He's done science fiction. He's done, you know, fantasy and action. Like... Taking Pelham 1-2-3 or what was it, Paris from Love or something. Almost sounds like a James Bond movie, but it's him just being a CIA dick.
Now when you say fantasy, what did he do?
Phenomenon. That's the movie I was talking about. Okay. So Phenomenon is the reason why I thought about this topic, actually. Okay. But if you haven't seen it, it's John Travolta just lives in a small town and he suddenly starts getting psychic powers. He can read minds, he can move things with his finger. He
can make giant ears of corn.
Yeah. Like, he becomes a super genius in agriculture and solar power and all this. The course of this movie is him just getting more powerful and more powerful. Like, he's becoming some sort of superhuman. And it's really great just, like, trying to watch him, like, try and maintain his friendships when everyone starts becoming afraid of him. And he thinks it's because he saw an alien in the sky. Because one night there was just white, bright light that just, like, hits him in the face.
And they abducted him.
Yeah. And then just made him super intelligent. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the movie, spoilers from a movie that came out in 1996.
Was it an anal probe?
He has a tumor the size of an apple in his head, and instead of killing his brain, it started, you know, awakening things.
The bright light is like when he gets the pain, and that's just him passing out.
Yeah, that's called a hemorrhage. Yeah. That's what's happening to him. But it's a really great movie. And once again, I just spoiled it for you, but, you know, it came out in 96. That's your problem.
So you can't think of what you would like to see him do.
I would like...
Well, you think about that for a minute. Please. So I would like to see him play in not exactly a biblical type movie, but something that has to do with biblical stuff.
Okay.
Could be science fiction, could be fantasy, could be whatever, could be serious. Kind of like a Constantine or something, but where he is actually the devil character, like the Satan.
Oh, okay.
I think he could pull that off because he's kind of got that thing, kind of like how Pacino has, where, you know, he can play it suavely, but still come out as that evil kind of person.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. No, I like that.
So I would like to see him, and I don't know even what I don't know if I'd like it to be, like, seriously biblical, but based on, you know, his beliefs and stuff, he may not do that, but, you know, you never know. Mm-hmm. But I would like to see him in that kind of role where it's like almost the whole movie you don't even realize, kind of like the Devil's Advocate. Like, you don't really realize what's exactly going on until you got to get to the end or close to the end. But
to be fair, there's no way you didn't think Al Pacino wasn't the devil when you were watching a movie called The Devil's Advocate, like from the get-go.
But what I'm saying is, as the movie's playing,
you don't know what the end game means.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But that's a common term, though. People always say that, like, whenever somebody's, like, hoping for... Oh, I'm going to play devil's advocate here.
Yeah.
And
basically, well, it's an actual turn of phrase.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, you watch a movie called The Devil's Advocate, it could be something based off the term.
Yeah.
Not necessarily.
I clocked him as the devil from moment one.
Well, I'm playing devil's advocate here about your assumption of the devil's advocate title.
I'm just saying I was right is all I'm saying.
I'm saying people always think they're right when they're wrong.
But I was right.
You know, opinions aren't like assholes. Anybody
So I want to see him as the devil.
What's the quote from National Treasure 2? You assume you're correct. Like, well, I am correct a lot of the time.
Or I would like to see him as a Master Jedi.
Yeah, I don't know if I could see that. Yeah.
I could see him doing that.
Oh, I mean, I could see him doing it. I mean, he's... You know.
I could see him kicking ass at it, but I don't know.
Did you ever think you'd see Liam Neeson?
I want to see more of Liam Neeson. Being a
Jedi, but... Now that you've seen it, it's in your head.
Yeah,
and now you believe it.
Mm. And now you believe it.
That's kind of what he was thinking in Taken, when he's like, I have a special set of skills. He should have been like, I'm a Jedi Master.
Yeah.
I will hunt you down.
I have a special set of skills.
And then he pulls out a red lightsaber.
No, just as he's on the phone, he's like, see the glass across the room, and he just force picks it up, hits him with it. So let my daughter go now.
You done messed up, son.
How did you do that? The question isn't how I did that. The question is, why haven't I done the knife? And then the knife comes over.
Or the question is, what will I do next? There's a floating gun behind his head and it just cocks a little bit. Yeah, like that movie Push with Chris Evans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, flopped horribly, but I really love that movie. I think it's great. But to go back to your original question, listening to your answer gave me an idea. Oh, I would like to see him in like an action movie, obviously, but is like in a mentoring role, like Sam Elliott in Roadhouse. So
okay.
So just the idea I had with John Wick 5, John Wick is still alive. If you haven't seen 4, it's implied he may no longer be among the living, but no one believes that because, you know, it's John Wick. They're not getting rid of that billion-dollar franchise.
Mm-hmm.
He still has 80 billion people to kill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The planet's still here.
Yeah.
So if there was a John Wick 5 and John Wick needed to go back to, like, say, the mentor that taught him how to do everything that he could do, and it's John Travolta. A little bit older, could still beat some ass if he really needs to, but he helped mentor John back to becoming fighting form.
Or you can use that same idea, but make it a prequel to John Wick, explain kind of how he got to the way he
was. That movie's already in production.
Well, I'm making a new one. I'm making the pre one.
John Wick the baby.
It's the pre-release. Yeah, John Travolta's just his dad.
Yeah. He's training the baby by just throwing the baby at other people.
That was the secret. He was mentoring because he felt guilty because he never told him he was his father.
Yeah.
Because he didn't want him to originally live the life, but he saw that he had
this is a pencil. And he takes a doll and shoves it.
What he does is he tapes it to the baby's arms and throws the baby like a dart. So he gets that taste for sweet, sweet blood so early on in the game. He knows where to aim for the jugular.
Wow. That went dark.
I want to see the baby dart, though.
I want to see the baby dart.
So we do have a few minutes. Can you think of them in, because every, you know, even though in my opinion they're kind of getting oversaturated, but can you think of a MCU character you could see John Travolta playing, whether it be a good or bad guy?
I could see him playing a bad guy. So the bad guy from Guardians 3, just an egomaniacal dick who was just yelling at everyone.
Okay.
I could see him doing that. Like, think anger, well, that is, yeah, think Les Grossman, but he's trying to take over the world.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, I could see him being a Lex Luthor from DC.
Okay. That's interesting.
Because he's got that, you know, like, kind of like your thing about the Devil's Advocate, he's got that funny, psychotic side.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
To where it's like...
Like in Swordfish at the end when they're on the bus.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Mm. Yeah. And nowadays he shaves his head, so he's really just evil looking. No offense, John. Great guy, I assume. But you look terrifying.
I'm trying to think of who I could see him as, because I'm trying to think Marvel, but I'm trying to think of all the bad guys in Marvel, because there's quite a few.
Hmm.
Then I'm thinking DC.
Marvel, like Kingpin, like a Kingpin-esque.
Kind of like that.
Like when he loses.
That kind of was his role, like in Swordfish. He was kind of like that type of character. But
he's calm, cool, and collective until he loses his absolute shit, and then buildings get destroyed.
Yeah. I was actually thinking, and I know they already redid it for the 80 millionth time, but it's going to sound really weird. I can actually almost see him playing like a Riddler character.
Hmm. Okay. I thought you were going to go more towards like the Thing.
No. Because you'd want to see John Travolta. You don't want to see a bunch of orange rock.
Exactly.
Yeah, it worked for Michael Chiklis until his career immediately died afterwards.
Yeah.
Well, that's because the shield went off.
Yeah. And then I always confused him with the guy from Breaking Bad. The DEA, like brother-in-law.
Oh, yeah. Well, they do kind of look a little similar.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I kind of see that, though.
So all bald guys look alike?
Yeah. Larry David?
Touché.
Looks exactly like Michael Chiklis, apparently.
He looks like an older Michael Rosenbaum.
Yeah.
From Smallville, when he had to
say, I don't know if that's an insult or a compliment. But either way, Michael Rosenbaum wants to talk to you.
Yeah, right.
He's going to be at Tampa Bay Comic Con this year.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Him and David Hayter. Genuinely, okay. I have David Hayter's signature, but Michael Rosenbaum, that'd be a treat.
It would be goddamn delight.
I'd have him sign my external hard drive, because that's where all my episodes of Smallville are.
Oh, my God.
Before we...
Legally acquired, and you can't prove otherwise.
Yeah. Before we wrap up, because we only got a few minutes and we got a couple other things to talk about, though, one other thing I would like to see him in is some movie about a poker tournament. I want to see him as either like the head guy running it.
What's that Matt Damon movie?
Oh, that's a very good movie with Edward Norton.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, Rounders.
Rounders, yeah.
Yeah.
still to this day, everybody who watched it was, but they did a documentary about it where they met up with all these professional gamblers and stuff, guys that actually do this for a living. Mm. And they said that everyone said it's like the most accurate movie to how things actually are.
It's a really good movie. Yeah. I would think more of like a 21 type of gambling movie.
That's fine. I mean, just some kind of gambling movie I'd really like to see him in. But I don't know what type of role, whether it's the guy
could running everything. Could also see him as like in the Mark Ruffalo role in Now You See Me.
Oh, as the kind of...
Like the FBI slash magician mentor.
Yeah. Maybe that'll be in Now You See Me 3.
Yeah. I'd watch it. I love those first two movies. Except the second one...
Now Jesse You See Me Again. It'll just be like the Look Who's Talking movies. Look Who's Talking To, Look Who's Talking Now.
Hey, if that means we can get Michael J. Fox in the third one, I'm all for it.
It's kind of like what we when I sent Patrick on the Mission Impossibles, because there's been like, what, 7 of them now? Yeah. I was like, I am now starting to believe these missions are possible.
Yeah.
So for the Now You See Me 18, I'm going to say that we can fucking see you.
Yeah.
It is very clear you are not John Cena.
Yeah. We see you. You very clearly.
We're running out of time, but I do want to talk about one of my favorite roles that he's done, but it was for a commercial.
Oh, the recent one?
No.
Oh.
For God of War Ragnarok, when they were coming out for that movie. So it was all these dads dressing, because the new God of War games, he's trying to be a father figure to his son, but... Mm. He's an ancient Greek god. He doesn't really do paternal love very well.
Yeah.
So it's all these dads who adopt that persona, but they're in like family therapy. Like, you can't be like this all the time, John. We got to pull it back. And it's like him dressed up in all the armor and stuff.
And Kratos.
Yeah. And, well, LeBron James is in the commercial too, but he's not dressed up. He's like, I ain't doing that.
I thought you were going to talk about this last year's Christmas commercial where he's dressing up as Santa and he's dancing all around. He's still got the moves.
Yeah, he does.
Got the moves. At the very end, it's just him dancing.
Shocker, mine's video game based.
Yeah, no kidding. But we do have to head out of here in a couple minutes. But a couple quick things. You know, as we always say, check us out on all the social medias, all the website. Sunscreen, we are going to be at next weekend.
Thursday through Sunday, we'll be there.
Yep, Thursday through Sunday. Thursday is the red carpet, so that's April 25th through the 28th. You know, they have a lot of great things going on, great after parties, workshops, events, movie screenings, Q&As, just everything you could think of. That'll be going on all weekend. Thursday is the red carpet kickoff. I think they have one big movie screening that night. One or two, and then basically Friday, Saturday, and Sunday is just screenings all day. In the evening, they'll have their different after parties and dinners and stuff like that set up. So if you haven't gotten your tickets yet, get them. They're going to run out. And always remember, if you do get any of the VIP passes for it gets you into all the events and everything, but it is first come, first serve on like the screenings, Q&As, and stuff.
And there's
so.
One on Friday at 6:30 that I'm going to try and duck away from you guys to go see.
Okay.
It's Brian Williams' Savage movie. It's debuting there at 6:30.
Okay.
I want to see if I can sneak away and grab that. But just a little info for this show, just like last year, we're probably going to get around 10 hours worth of audio. So there are a couple of weeks where you may get two episodes and they'll be about 2 hours long. So.
Yep.
Hopefully we'll get more this year. So if you get more or less, or it takes us longer to edit than normal because we have so much, apologies in advance.
Yes, many apologies.
Or you're welcome. I don't know what you're rooting for in this scenario.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, also, yeah, just come and check us out. We'll be out there the entire time. And then Sunday, we usually kind of wrap up a little bit earlier on Sunday.
We were gone by like 1:32 on Sunday.
Yeah. But usually
just
Sunday.
Just because everyone was so messed up from the night before.
Yeah.
Like,
it was a fun time, though.
Yeah.
Fun times.
Oh, we had a great time. I was the sensible one. Somehow, I was the responsible one. I left at like 11:30, and
I'll be in bed by 9.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to be asleep by 9:30.
See, I will bet you will be asleep by 9:30.
Yeah.
It may be face down on the sidewalk.
No. Nope. No, we'll not. But anyway, irregardless, come and check us out. Come check them out. They've got a lot of other stuff going on. This year, there is a couple of things I'm not sure if I can talk about that I was speaking to Doug about. I'll tell you guys offline. But just some other people that'll be there and everything, some other additional events and everything they're going to have going on. But yeah, come and find us. We're in the upstairs mezzanine area. We'll have our signs out there to tell you where we're at, and you can't miss us because we're going to be up there just talking away. So,
and we'll be on the floor wearing our shirts that say the podcast guys.
Yes, so the podcast guys. So that's us. But until then, for Movie Talks and Chill, we are your hosts. I'm Tony Serrato.
I'm Gavin Butts.
I'm Patrick Wall.
All right, guys, take care. Don't forget, guys, you can visit us at our website, movietalksandchill.com. Email us at talktous@movietalksandchill.com or find us on our YouTube channel.
You can also follow us on social media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Movie Talks and Chill.
You can listen to us on Spotify, Anchor, Google Podcasts, Breaker, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, coming soon to Apple Podcasts, CastBox, and Overcast.
New episodes available every Wednesday. Talk to you then. Theme music for our podcast was composed, arranged, and performed by Paul the Rock.